I have to believe that more people sharpen their knives this month than at any other. We pull out the carving knife once a year. It's sort of the odd bird of the cutlery drawer. It has a distinctive shape, balance, and even thickness that all have been craftily designed to work together for a common purpose. Well, I asked David Leet of Leet's Culinaria to get the skinny on carving knives. And he ended up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with Corey Milligan, who's the founder of New West Knifeworks.
Hey, Corey, it's a pleasure having you here.
Howdy, David. Thanks for having me.
Now, Corey, let's talk about this neglected child of the knife block. Exactly what is a carver?
Well, a carving knife is a knife that's designed for cutting up and slicing meats. Today, we mostly use it to cut up turkeys, but throughout history, it was used to carve any large piece of meat.
And talk to me a little bit about the shape and the balance of it. What makes it unique?
Generally, a carving knife of today is made about 8 to 10 inches long. It has a relatively thin blade, both in the thickness of the steel that it's made out of and the width of the blade.
Okay.
It also has a point. You see some slicing knives that are rounded on the end. They're not ideal for carving meat. You definitely need a point to work around joints or cut off legs of turkeys, for example, and things like that.
Okay. And a carver can be used for carving any meat. There's not a specific turkey carver, right?
Not today. I mean, carvers today are designed for cutting generally any meat. Back in the Middle Ages, they made many different carvers for cutting many different kinds of foods. But today, we've kind of averaged it all out to one style.
So they've had different knives for different meats at different times.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, Corey, let me ask you, we've been a meat-eating species for as long as we've been a species. When did the knife really start coming into to play, the carver?
Well, the real heyday of the carving knife was in the European Middle Ages, right on up through the Victorian Age.
Mm-hmm.
In those times, you know, it was only the very wealthy who could afford to eat large pieces of meat. And so sitting at the table and carving meat for your guests was really a symbol of wealth and sophistication. And I recently read a book called Honors of the Table. It was written in 1791 to teach young people about proper manners while dining, and fully a third of the book was dedicated to the art of carving meats.
Seriously?
Yep.
What are some of the points, the most salient points from back then?
From back then? Let's see here. So a list of rules of carving at the table from 1790 are: there was to be no standing while carving was done. Instead, hosts around the land were advised to invest in a seat lofty enough to allow them to wield their blades from a commanding position.
Oh, my.
Under no circumstances should the head of the household keep the best bits of turkey for themselves. And favoritism when handing out the choice cuts was always frowned upon, unless, of course, a person of superior rank happened to be gracing the table. And then the final one, which I think still applies today: we should not cut the slices too thick or too thin and should help our friends to gravy. It is also generally best to ask our friends what part they like the best.
Light or dark.
That's right.
And so talking about asking friends what they would like, light or dark, and cutting thin slices, the question that comes up every year is, how do you slice a turkey properly?
Well, the method that virtually every chef I've ever seen or talked to about it is generally the same. So the first step is to remove the legs, you know, including the thigh and the wings. And that's best done by getting a good purchase on the end of the wing or the end of the leg and moving it around so you can really see where that joint is that meets the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then just taking the knife and kind of working around that joint and moving it at the same time until you cut through all the meat that's there, the ligaments. That doesn't sound very appetizing, but I think we know what we mean. So once you've pulled off the wings and the legs, then the next thing to do is to remove the breasts. So it's really just done in two parts, the breast on each side. And what you want to do is take the tip of the knife and cut down between the sternum and the meat, and use your knife to stay as close to the bone as you can, kind of tracing down the side of the sternum.
Mm-hmm.
Until if you can reach all the way down on that side with your knife and get the whole breast off, that's great. But a lot of times you have to actually cut as far as you can down that way and then go under the bird and cut the breast off from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you've got that done, then you take the breast off, the whole breast off of the carcass, put it on a cutting board, and then slice it. And again, what I see most chefs doing is slicing across the grain of the meat. So if you were thinking of the breast as running from the head to the tail, you want to slice perpendicularly
like
to that.
Like a football, and you slice it across the football.
Exactly, yes. Right. And then you'll have the most kind of tenderest bites that way.
And Corey, if someone's in the market to buy the perfect carver, what should they look for?
Well, really a lot of the things that we talked about before, 8 to 10 inches long, a thin blade both in width and thickness. Mm-hmm. The thing that I didn't mention before that I think is very important is it should be made out of high-quality cutlery steel. A lot of times I've seen carving sets that are made out of either very stainless flatware steel or even silver that are designed to be decorative, but you can't really sharpen them and they don't hold an edge. And then the last idea I have for you is I've many times seen at antique shops these grand carving sets from latter years. Mm. A lot of times they have an antler handle with silver bolsters on it, and they're just super cool. And I think if you're embracing that tradition of the days gone by of carving, I think those are a great choice. Now, one comment I would remind folks of is those knives usually are made of what we call carbon steel, mm-hmm. which is great for edge holding and sharpening, but it's not stain resistant. So you need to keep a little extra care with those. Make sure you wash them and dry them after you use them.
So after the holidays are done, Thanksgiving, Christmas, everything, we're past the new year, how do you store this carver that you bought, maybe with antlers on it? How do you store it?
Well, that antler one particularly, and especially if it's an older carbon steel, but even if it's made out of a modern stainless steel, if it's going to sit unused for a long period of time, I think it's really important to put some oil on it. Mm-hmm. So because we're in the kitchen, the easiest thing to do is just use some vegetable oil or mineral oil. Really anything but olive oil is fine. And rub the whole blade, and I think it's best just to rub the handle and every part of it. And then usually those things come in cases, so those are easy to store in. If not, wrapping it up in a towel is nice to protect the knife and the edge while it's being stored. But I do have one idea for you, and that is if you've got it, mm-hmm. you might as well use it.
Flaunt it.
Yeah, so anytime you're cutting up meat, get it out, show it off a little bit. Just put it in your knife block, and I think you'll find lots of times there's great applications for it.
Well, hopefully that neglected child will become the favorite child after a while.
That's right.
Corey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
David Leet heads up leetsculinaria.com. Corey Milligan is the founder of New West Knifeworks.